Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more, or plan to join us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. Now, worship is about to begin. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. My name is Gabrielle Myers, and I'm here to welcome you to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. Our Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. Our Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more, or come join us in person at one of our locations once it is safe to do so. Today we celebrate community as we say goodbye to Mrs. Ann Birchmeyer, our Director of Youth Ministries, who this community has lifted up into pastoral ministry. Mrs. Birchmeyer has been a faithful member of our community during her time here at First United Methodist. She has inspired the youth to become active in the church and has shown us what a follower of Christ looks like. She has exemplified strength that can only be rooted in a deep faith in God. Mrs. Birchmeyer has been a leader to many of the youth, including myself. She has encouraged me to strengthen my relationship with Christ and has always been kind to and supportive of me. Thank you, Mrs. Birchmeyer, for all that you have done. The church will dearly miss you, but we are so excited to see the plans that God has for you. Now, worship is about to begin, and we are glad that you are here.
Hello, my name is Anna Tarian. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy God, who created all that exists, we praise you. We open our hearts and our spirits this day to your eternal love and forgiving mercy. Be with us as we participate in this worship service. Remind us again that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might fully understand the depth and breadth of your love. In all things and at all times, we praise you. Amen.
Good morning, First Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I am so grateful to have been the youth director here for the last 2 years. Throughout my time here, the most asked question I've received is, where are all the youth? And I want to tell you that the youth of this church are alive and well and active in the church. The ways they are active may look different than most are used to, though, so I encourage you to perhaps look with new lenses. When I arrived, the first goal was to connect to the youth wherever they were at and find what ways each one would best connect to the church and to their faith. What I found was that each of these young people were their own unique person who connected in their own ways. I can report that there are over 60 youth, grades 4 through 12, that I personally have connected in ministry with since fall of 2019, which is the beginning of our program year. So when you ask where they are, I can say with confidence that they are in worship with their family, or they may be an usher or on the tech board or reading liturgy. They are doing mission work like St. Andrew's Breakfast Mission, Fish and Loaves, Love Inc., Appalachia Service Project, Motown Mission, Flint Water Recovery. They are in service helping with the rummage sale, VBS, Trunk or Treat. They are in Sunday morning classes, and they are in traditional youth group on Sunday evenings. I invite you to participate in these ministries and get to know these young people. It truly takes a village to do youth ministry, and there are several adults who have been or currently are active in youth ministry who I need to thank. To the teachers, the group leaders, the mentors, the mission leaders and chaperones, the retreat chaperones who have been part of this ministry, I give you my sincerest thanks. I could not have done this without you. Today, we are blessed to have several of these youth participate in service. Gabrielle Myers, who just finished her first year of college, which I guess makes her now a young adult, but she'll always be a youth in my heart. Anna Atarian, who will be confirmed in the church this year. I believe she also played music at the beginning, as well as the Bond family who sang us into worship this morning. Lucas Seng and Amber Clare, who came to us from other churches, I'm happy to announce are currently transferring their membership to First Church as we speak. I'm so honored to have been a part of their journeys and to be able to welcome them as members before I go. Now a short message to the youth. Thank you for giving me the honor of being a part of your faith life. Thank you for not running each week when I approached you. Thank you for the conversations, the laughs, the participation, and the grace that you gave me as I learned how to do my job. Thank you for the memories that I will carry in my heart, as there are several. I invite you to continue to stay connected and challenge you to find more ways to grow in connection. Find each other and be the safe place for each other to talk and explore faith in God. Pastors Lindsay and John are sure to bring new and exciting ways to praise and serve and be in fellowship. Be open to receive and to try new things. I know they value and are interested in your thoughts and ideas, so be courageous, be creative, and share those with them. I pray God's blessings upon you and God's blessing and guidance in your life.
Good morning, First Church. God is good all the time. My name is Bruce Stark, and I'm happy to spend this time with you this morning. Although it looks like I'm in front of the altar in the sanctuary, I'm really not. I'm sitting at home in front of my computer, and through modern technology, I have a picture of the church behind me, but I'm actually just sitting at home. It's important to remember at this time that the church is not a building. The church is its people. And by saying its people, I want to also say that the people are not only just our church, but the people are my family. I've been attending this church for over 20 years. My life has changed a lot through that 20 years. Now I live alone. And if I need family members, I know that I can always call somebody from the church and they'll be there for me. So not only is the church important to the community, it's important to me. At this particular time in our service, if we were in the sanctuary, it would be time for the ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings. But it's a little more difficult right now since we're not able to meet in the church right now. There are several ways that you can give to the church because the work of the church continues. I want to thank the people that have already set up EFT, electronic fund transfers, so that the money automatically goes from their account into the church account, making it easier for them. They don't even have to think about it. It just automatically happens. And if you want to do that, information is available on our church website. BrightonFUMC.org/giving. There's other ways that you can also give. You can use a credit card or you can use PayPal. Information on how to do this is also available at BrightonFUMC.org/giving. You can also text to give. You can send a text message. Information again is available at the webpage on how to do that. There's a new app that you can put on your mobile phone, and it's called Give Plus. If you go to BrightonFUMC.org/giving, there's information on how you can download that app to your mobile phone so that you can make a one-time gift to the church through your phone. And you can do that every week. Or if you're old school like me, you might want to just sit down, write a check, put it in an envelope, and mail it to 400 East Grand River, Brighton, Michigan, 48116. I'm blessed to have you all as members of my family, and I appreciate each and every one of you, and I look forward to when we can meet again. The church is working very hard to get us all back together in the church, but we want to make sure that when we do it, everyone is safe. So stay safe, stay healthy, be blessed. You're my friends, you're my family, and I love you all.
Philippians 4, 4-9. Rejoice in the always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4, 4-9.
Thank you, Lucas. Good morning, church community. I am Ann Birchmeyer. I am the Director of Youth Ministry at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake, at least for a few days longer. I have been blessed to be called into pastoral ministry and appointed to South Rockwood United Methodist Church and Willow United Methodist Church. But before I go, it's my honor to give one more message. We've been in this series, Tell the Story, for a while. Last week, Pastor Bob spoke about the community as co-workers for God. Today, I want to speak about the church community itself and who we are to each other. Community is an interesting thing. It's a broad word, really. For instance, in biology, community is defined as a group of organisms that live together and interact with each other within an environment or a habitat. In ecology, community is described as being comprised of different groups of organisms coexisting in a habitat over a particular time. In society, a community is considered a social structure that shares something, like a place or like a school or a neighborhood. A hobby, like knitting or quilting or even hunting, personal values, cultural values, attitudes, or a worldview. But what is community with regards to the Christian church? What is that shared thing that defines the group? I would offer that in my experience, which is specific to United Methodism, church community is a group of people who seek to love God and love each other. Sounds simple, right? Nowadays, it seems like it's thrown around as a cliche. But what does loving God and loving each other really look like? We can see some of what it's supposed to look like in Paul's letters. Paul set up many Christian communities in his ministry. After he would leave, those churches would often write him with updates and ask for advice with any problems they may be having. His answers sometimes came through his letters. When we look for an answer to what community should look like in the Christian church, we can deem a lot from Paul's letters. Sometimes Paul was addressing or responding to specific events or happenings within those communities, but he almost always included encouragement and appeals or reminders on what Christian community should look like. Today's scriptures comes from Paul's letter to his church in Philippi. The first part, the encouragement portion, is a favorite among people I know and is often used for personal comfort. If I'm being honest, this was not the original scripture I had chosen for a message on community, but for some reason, this scripture kept coming back to me, so I took it as a hint. Something in this scripture needs to be heard. As I read, I invite you to consider what it reveals to us about Christian community. It's from Philippians 4, 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Like most, when I listen to the words I hear, don't worry, give it to God. Through Jesus, God has your back. Hearing it almost always gives the indication that there's nothing for the community to do itself. But consider the actions included in the verse. Rejoice, which it says twice, and pray. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, taught that while God's grace is unearned, We are not to be idle waiting to experience grace, but rather we are to engage in the means of grace. The means and grace are ways we are able to experience God's transforming works being done in us through the Holy Spirit. It is our way of stepping into and accepting that which God offers. Perhaps Paul is telling us to humbly and joyfully step into that space as a community, to remember how Jesus taught God's people to connect. Paul's instruction of prayer is easy to interpret, and I offer that rejoice could be interpreted as worship. Unity of the community was important to Paul and to John Wesley. Both stressed the needs for Christian community to act together in seeking God, and both found communal prayer and worship to be at the forefront of Christian community. To take part in prayer and worship together in a community offers the opportunity for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to do its work to the whole community, not just to the individual. Together in worship, we praise God in song. We learn God's word. We pray, and we commune at Jesus' table. Consider your time in worship. When have you been transformed? When have you felt the peace and love of God and God's people? When have you been moved closer in your journey to God? I know right now it seems like that cannot possibly happen in the current climate, but I can tell you without a doubt that the Holy Spirit is not thwarted by the online environment. The Spirit of God knows no bounds, and we, God's community, are finding new ways to experience God's grace. In today's scripture, Paul is reminding his community to remember that and step into who they are. We are, as they were, a community seeking to love God and know God. The second part of our scripture comes from the appeals portion of Paul's letter. Again, I invite you to listen to what it reveals about the Christian community. This comes from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's reiteration of these virtues to the church in Philippi was again to remind them of who they were as a community and why. But this time it was geared towards how they were to act toward one another. The Church of Jesus Christ was to set the standard on loving one another. This is also seen in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These are two letters to two different communities with different things happening. But in both letters, Paul calls the Christian communities to be agents of God's love in whatever circumstances they are in. He suggests that through being agents of God's love, they receive God's peace. Sounds like a means of grace, right? Through outward actions, we do so, we are able to experience God's transforming works being done in us through the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that peace is mentioned in both verses? Interestingly, one commentary I read suggests that this peace Paul is referring to that is offered is not just personal, but corporate. God's peace offered to a community. Think about that. When I think about it, I imagine a dome of peace over this whole community. Can you see it? Pretty cool. But what does it mean? Being an agent of God's love, right? What does it mean? John Wesley calls this works of mercy. He too considered being agents of God's love a means of grace. In his definition, this included doing works, visiting the sick and imprisoned, feeding the hungry, and addressing the needs of the poor. It also included broader communal things like seeking justice and ending oppression and discrimination. It was John Wesley that said that these works of mercy bring us closer to being fully formed in the image of Christ. It was his belief that works of mercy brought means of grace to both the served and to those serving. I would offer further that being agents of God's love refers to our interaction with one another in community. In the scripture, Paul pleads for his community to think about the right and admirable, the lovely and noble way to be, and then be that, do that. In Ephesians 4, he reminds the church community particularly to be patient, humble, and gentle with one another, finishing the sentence by saying, bearing with one another in love. The word bearing today could mean many things. The Greek word used was anechame, which I love saying. It was used frequently by Paul. It means to tolerate, forbear, or to suffer, be patient with people. Paul understood that just like the world, communities are not perfect. In all communities, there will be disagreements, disappointment. Personalities will rub each other the wrong way, and there will be conflict. But he knew that if the community of Christ was intentional about being agents of God's love, they could succeed in their mission together. John Wesley sums it up by saying that loving our neighbors as ourselves is to let love govern the heart and life, running through all of our tempers, our words, and our actions. The Christian community these days is seen in so many ways in the world. Like so many things in the media, there are so many versions of the story that nobody can see the truth anymore. I think many times the message and purpose of this community are lost. For me, a Christian community are those united and committed in following that which Christ told us to do. Love God with all your heart and love one another as I have loved you. It is a community that offers and participates in communal means of grace that will make disciples and thereby a community empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit for the transformation of the world. I offer to the First Church community my gratitude for the transformations that have been made in me while being a part of it, and gratitude for the honor of being part of the transformation in others. I offer, like Paul, a reminder to you of who you are as a Christian community. Keep loving God and keep loving each other. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you are such a mystery to us in so many ways. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in Christ Jesus, who showed us how we can be ever closer to you. Who showed us your vision for this world, your world. We praise and thank you for the many graces you offer us and the means of grace available for us to reach out in love to you. Our community through Christ is grounded in your love and committed to being your love in the world. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Suzanne Everett. I'm here today with my dad, Dave Rutter. As I thought about bringing congregational prayer this week, and it being Father's Day and our theme of community, I wanted to include my dad in this moment. My mom and dad are former members at First Church of Brighton. They've been members at Fenton United Methodist Church for many years now, but since we've been worshiping online starting back in March, they've been with us every Sunday morning, worshiping online as part of our community. It's exciting to know that many people are not limited by their location anymore, so they can participate in worship. Whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, or on our website, we can worship together. How's it been for you?
Marvelous. I think maybe I even get a little bit more focus being online because I have no disturbances. It's marvelous. We enjoy it.
It's neat to know that you're there while we are. When I think about fathers, the fathers in my life, my dad, my father-in-law, my husband, and my brothers, When I think about how they've handled themselves during this pandemic, the words that come to mind are steady and resilient. I remember back in March, when I was first part of the online worship that we did in the beginning, I told you that I lean optimistic. Well, I can tell you honestly, since then, I have leaned every which way. You'd think I was on a roller coaster. And I know a lot of people can relate to that. But these men in my life, you guys are rocks. So thank you. Thank you for living your faith, for being a solid example for our children of what it means to love unconditionally, for being strong and steady in the face of uncertainty. I love you.
Love is a key word, I think, for this experience that we've gone through.
It goes a long way. So happy Father's Day.
I'm grateful to have been your father. You've taught me a lot as we've grown together.
You ready to pray?
Indeed.
All right. Let's pray. Living and holy God, you breathe life into each and every one of us. You love us as your children. We turn to you as our parent for guidance, for love, to set us on the right path. Thank you, Lord, for your constant loving presence, for being a light in the darkness, for being hope in times of fear and uncertainty. These last few months have been a real test for us, but we know you are our steady source of hope and comfort. Help us in the days and months ahead to center ourselves on the path of Jesus. Help us to discover how to be your hands and feet, even while we are still fighting a pandemic. Bless all the fathers today, dear Lord. Bless the new dads, who for the first time this year will know the joy of fatherhood. Bless the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers with their years of experience, offering steady love and endurance for the life you want us to lead. Bless also those today who struggle with their relationships with fathers. Lord, be a balm to those who are hurting. Hear our prayer. We pray too for those in need of healing and those who suffer, whether it's addiction or mental illness or other maladies. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We pray for the church, especially for our pastors and Anne as they embark on new ministries in new places. Bless their work. We will miss them, and we know that your hand is at work in their lives. We pray for our new pastors as they move their family to a new community. May they find rest and renewal as they unpack and make their home here. Lord, we also pray for our nation and our community. This is a hurting and broken world. We often don't know what to do. We turn to you now and always, seeking your wisdom and listening for your voice. Help us to see each other with your eyes. Help us to love each other with your heart. Help us to forgive each other with your mercy. Lord, hear our prayer. Let's pray together now the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Indeed. What a joy.
Good morning. This is Reverend Loretta Job, retired deacon, serving at Brighton First.
I'm Pastor Bob Fuchs. My current appointment is First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Starting July 1st, I will be the lead pastor at Downriver United Methodist Church.
I am Reverend Sue Patu, an ordained deacon serving Cass Community Social Services and Cass Community United Methodist Church.
Hi, I'm Reverend Beth Titus, and I am currently appointed at Narden Park United Methodist Church in Farmington Hills, where I serve as the Associate Pastor of Youth and Mission and Outreach.
Susie Hutchison, Plymouth First United Methodist Church.
My name's Brian Kilpatrick. I am currently serving at Mancelona and Alba United Methodist Churches. Dear friends, today we recognize the ministry of Ann Birchmeyer and God's call upon her life.
The church is blessed by her service, and we rejoice in our common recognition of Jesus Christ as our Savior.
It is with sorrow that we say farewell, and it is with great joy that we celebrate Ann's appointment to pastor Willow United Methodist Church and South Rockwood United Methodist Church.
Ann, we rejoice with you that you have heard God's call to pastoral ministry and have said with Isaiah, "Here am I, send me."
As you serve the congregations of Willow and South Rockwood, your congregation pledges their prayers, encouragement, and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and in all things you may do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor upon Anne, who is now prepared to answer your call to pastoral ministry.
Give her courage, patience, and vision. Strengthen her for all that lies ahead. Bless also, Lord, all who have been sent into ministry through this congregation, including clergy and missionaries.
Work in the hearts of those who are yet to answer your call to a vocation in Christian ministry. Pour your Spirit on all those whom you have set apart for service in your name, and unite us as one in ministry to all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
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 Hi, my name is Ramon Ruiz, and I am speaking on behalf of the Staff Parish Relations Committee of Brighton Whitmore Lake First. Have you been able to make the farewell celebrations the last 2 weekends? You might have seen me there. Well, this afternoon, we got one more for Ann Birchmeyer. Our esteemed youth director, Ann, is also leaving First Church. Having accepted an appointment as a pastor, serving a two-point charge at Willow United Methodist Church and South Rockwood United Methodist Church. Our hearts are sad to see Ann leave, but we're excited for her faith journey to take that next step in being a pastor. The reason our family became members of Brighton Whitmore Lake First is because of our kids. God led us to a community that prioritized the development of a strong faith foundation for children. One of the people that had the biggest impact on this mission was Ann. There are numerous examples of what Ann has done for our church, but the most recent one that hit my heart was on April 19th. If you don't remember that day, this was the service with the facescapes from our confirmants. At that time, I was personally at one of my lowest points during this 2020 year. I remember watching that service and my faith in this COVID-19 world flipped 180 degrees. The eighth graders showed me through their creativity and talents to keep faith in God and in this church. The kids truly deserve tremendous kudos for those videos that they put together that day. That being said, we all know the impact it had in their development. Our church is so grateful for Ann. Her legacy in our church history will be known for taking our youth development to a whole new level. The fruits of the labor will bring future members of our wonderful church. May God bless Ann and her family during this new chapter of their lives.
Hi, I'm Amber, and I'll be reading the benediction for you today. Before I begin, I just wanted to say thank you to the Father on Earth that feeds me dinner every night and takes me to where I need to be. And then another thank you for the Father that watches above from the heavens. And then another special thank you to Anne Birchmeyer for showing me hope and for being a strong role model when I needed it. You are pretty amazing, and I'm not just saying that. I had not had a lot of people in my life, or I mean good people in my life, to show me the right way. And you were the first person to change my perspective. And I appreciate you. And I am very thankful for you. And I wish you the best in any church you are in, because I know you're going to shine.
And now for the benediction. God has given you all that you need. As you reach out in love and caring to others, go to God's world and bring the good news of redemption and hope. In Jesus' name, go in peace, and may God of peace go with you always. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.